P. Mitch and Finley, whenever you hear Ozzy, it means Neil Greenberg joins the program. Greenberg is a sports writer and stats geek, not nerd, for the Washington Post. You can follow him at N. Greenberg. He's a friend of the program and almost always gets the people talking. What up, Neil? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're good, man. I just had a fancy fruit roll-up. They make fancy fruit roll-ups now. They probably have barred regular fruit roll-ups. B. Mitch is drinking some ginger tea. We're chilling. We're in Ashburn. I want to start here. We go through NFL.com power rankings every week. They have Washington at number 5 in the NFL. Washington is 6-2. If the season ended today, they'd be the 2 seed in the AFC. Obviously, there's a lot of football left. If you want to be a skeptic, you could say they're a Hail Mary and a hurt kicker away from being 4-4. I don't agree with that, but I've had people throw that at me. Where is Washington in the Greenberg power rankings?
They are 11th. They are 2 points per game better than an average team. They're right behind, like, the Houston Texans. I think that's a pretty good spot for them. I'm comfortable with where they're at. Like you said, a couple of bounces here and there. Maybe the record is different. But, you know, the NFL is like a fraud league. And what I mean by that is if you beat the teams that you're supposed to, the teams that you beat were frauds, and if you lose to teams that you weren't supposed to, you're a fraud. It's like there's a lot of no-win situations for NFL teams these days, especially in the echo chamber of social media. But I think the Washington Commanders need to be respected. I think they need to be taken seriously, and a lot of people just don't want to do that. And if you think my power rankings aren't giving them enough credit, I understand that. But they've moved quite a bit from the bottom third of the rankings into the top 10. And I think when you look at some of the NFC teams, I mean, I think that that's a pretty fair assumption that they're among the top NFC teams. And being a top 10 team in the NFL is pretty good.
Like when you say it's a fraud league, and I understand what you're saying about that, but like my thing is you're in this thing to win games. And whether you win it by 1 point or somebody fumble or whatever, you win the game, right? San Francisco, Kansas City right now, if you go by stats and analytics, they are horrible. But they're 7-0.
Yeah, and Minnesota, we saw with Minnesota, you know, the year that they won 13 games 2 years ago. You know, you look at the analytics and maybe they were only supposed to win 8 games. That's the beauty of the NFL being a relatively small sample size of a season. A lot of people are saying, well, they can't keep it up, they can't keep it up, they can't keep it up. But they can because the season is short, relatively speaking. And, you know, you look at the offense playing very well, and I've tweeted about this. I think the improvement of the defense is not getting nearly enough credit for where Washington is. The defense was not good at all during the first couple weeks of the season. It has improved dramatically. You got to give credit to the staff for disguising coverages and blitzes and all that other stuff. And I really do think that that's the underlying piece of this where you need to take Washington a lot more seriously than a lot of people are.
Well, dude, to that point, we talked about this yesterday. It's chicken and egg. I like your reference about, like, week to week, somebody's a new fraud, right? But ultimately, all you can do are play the teams on the schedule.
That's right.
Is Washington's defensive improvement a result of playing some bad teams and, you know, Caleb Williams having a god-awful performance?
Or is there a reason
that these bad teams can't get their offense going and Caleb struggled so much?
Yeah, so I actually asked Aaron Schatz about this. He does the DVOA, which is just adjusting efficiency for strength.
He'll be on the program at 1 o'clock.
Okay, so great. So, okay, perfect. So, you know, I asked him about this, and he seems to agree that the defense is real even after adjusting for strength of schedule. And like you said, you can only play who's put in front of you. You don't get to choose your opponents. But if bad teams play worse, then you know, you've done your job, right? Like, if you prevent the team from scoring, any team from scoring, you've done your job. And I think people kind of want to have their cake and eat it too, right? Like, they want to say how much parity there is in the NFL, and they also want to say there are teams that are so bad that you should get no credit for doing anything against them. And I just don't think that that's fair. I mean, we've seen very bad NFL football teams put up a lot of points. We've seen them have very good defensive plays. You know, that's just the way the NFL goes. So, yes, I do think that even after you adjust for that, Washington's defensive improvement is real. We'll see if Aaron corroborates that. I think he will. But you look at, you know, objective measures like his, subjective measures like Pro Football Focus. You know, I think they're all trending in the same direction. And when you're trending in the same direction, then there's real improvement happening. I think that that's, you know, obviously that's good for the franchise.
Is it any way, Neil, that you can look and see how a certain player has impacted? Because Johnny Newton was a man-child on our Sunday. I mean, I saw a few plays that Baldy broke down. The dude is in the backfield past the lineman before he must get the hand off the damn ground.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's kind of where, like, Pro Football Focus's game ratings come into play. Because they are looking at what the player did, not necessarily what the result of the play was. He was the highest-rated player on the squad this past week. Like you said, he had a sack, 7 total pressures, 2 stops at or behind the line of scrimmage. That'll play in the NFL, right? I mean, if you can have
yes.
a dominating pass rusher, you know, that's going to work. And, you know, we've said this before, most important player in the field, quarterback. Second most important player, probably a pass rusher that can help neutralize the passer. And he certainly did that. And I think that that's, again, you know, that's a credit to the organization. I mean, Bobby Wagner is playing really well despite yes. being an advanced age for football. You know, the coaching staff had a lot of high-pressure strategies against the Bears. You think that they're going to pressure with more than 4, and they don't. They're using Tampa 2 very well. You know, there's just a lot of things going on with the defense that we kind of praise for the offense camouflaging what they're doing. I think the defense is doing it as well. This is a good football team, and I get that people were pessimistic at the beginning of the season, but it's time to make some new decisions based on new information. And there's a lot of things that are working for this team right now.
There are a lot of things that are working for this team. Dude, I wondered this, and I don't know if you have these numbers readily available, and I'm putting you on the spot, so forgive me. How often do Hail Marys work? And then particularly...
they don't work very often. There's been a lot of that stuff kind of going around.
And then particularly to win a game like that. Because I have seen...
I mean, it's...
I've seen 2 in person, right? The Broncos last year, where they then needed a 2-pointer and didn't get it. But go years back, the Saints hit one going into halftime with Jameis Winston. Like, I saw that in person. Yeah. So I've seen a few, but never to win a game.
Right. Well, that's why they stick in your brain, right? Because they're so few and far between, and... it becomes they're just rare, right? Like they stick out because of how rare they are. You know, you're not going to see that. I mean, there was a lot of things that had to happen, right? I mean, you had to have a defensive player taunting the crowd a little bit,
and then his tip helps out.
You know what I mean? Like that type of stuff. You know, there's a lot that needs to go right in order for a Hail Mary to work, period, let alone for it to happen with a couple seconds left in the game and for the win, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, they don't even work in practice,
I mean, it was
Neil.
Great. Yes?
They don't even work in practice.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a reason why they call them Hail Marys, right, and not, like, gimmies.
Right.
You know, I mean, and, you know, it's funny because you look at someone kind of, like, charted where the passes were first touched for these, just the tips that go in the end zone, and a lot of them are before the actual end zone themselves, right? Like the Hail Marys are usually tips that you need a lucky deflection and a lucky bounce of sorts to get in the hands of your guy in the end zone. So, yeah, it's fluky indeed, and, you know, but, I mean, what a story, right? And I actually tweet, like, this is a team of destiny in, of sorts, because what's not working for this club, right? Like everything is working right now. So we see these once in a while, and I do believe that the Commanders are the team of the moment.
It's wild to say that and have it be a real sentence. Worries, concerns. The Giants, I think, are better than the 2-6 record, but I think they're poorly coached. Do you have any metrics on coaching? That two-point conversion play the other night's a great example. They're just undisciplined. The penalties add up. Dable flips out. They pull the kid, Deontay Banks. Maybe he deserved it, but like I don't know that he deserved it at the moment. Is there a way to quantify Washington where seemingly the right calls are coming in at a number of – I mean, just think about Bobby Johnson, right? Bobby Johnson was canned by the Giants last year, and they tried to make him the scapegoat. Think about Brian Johnson, canned by the Eagles last year. They tried to make him the scapegoat. I couldn't help but notice Jaden Daniels hugging, dapping up Brian Johnson after the Hail Mary. You know what I mean? Like, something – can you quantify that? Is there any of that?
Well, I think it's a lot of it is the quarterback play, and I think Daniel Jones is probably the last of his kind in terms of letting a young quarterback just keep being mediocre or worse and not making a change, right? Like Daniel Jones has gotten a lot of bites at the apple when a lot of other franchises are starting to pull the plug earlier and earlier. You know, I think it's also showing like how much the draft process can set you back if you don't get that right, even if you're changing coaches, you know, even if you're changing schemes or you're getting some new players in there. You know, they're sticking with Brian Daboll despite some less than great circumstances, largely off of a 2022 campaign where he went 9-7-1. You know, they're not a great football team. I think it's more of just the collection of players that they have around them. You know, it's tough. It's tough to overcome mediocre to poor quarterbacking play, and that to me seems what's sticking out the most.
When you look at I don't know, I kept looking at Caleb and Jaden. Jaden seems to be the guy who seemed to be so under control. Caleb seemed to be the guy who has to have a lot of stuff, just run around to try to make plays, backyard type, instead of being a guy who's more of the pro style. I'm confident, I drop back, I read, I let it go, and then I take off. Caleb seems to want to start taking off before.
Yeah, I think Jaden Daniels has the it factor, right? Like, that's really the only way for me to describe it. Like, he knows what to do. Like, he is the right guy in the right situation doing the right things. That's not to say that Caleb Williams is a bust or won't be a great quarterback in this league or anything else. Jaden Daniels, for whatever reason, has all green lights in almost everything that he does, right? It seems like almost every decision he makes is the right one. It seems like he is you know, reading defenses really well, knowing what to do at the right moments. You know, even taking the Hail Mary away, like, this is a guy that is getting a lot of, you know, has already kind of gotten all the momentum for Rookie of the Year. I personally think that he deserves more MVP talk than he's getting. You know, so I think it's probably unfair to Caleb in that he was supposed to be the guy and the other guy is getting a lot of the spotlight because, you know, he's just playing better right now. It doesn't mean that
making
his career is going to be better. But
yeah, he's making the plays. So.
Playing better now, right? Like, there's more to highlight on Jaden Daniels on the football field than there is Caleb Williams. It's almost like I'm really reducing this, but it's almost like a PR-type thing, right, where there's just so much more to talk about with Jaden Daniels being the quarterback for this team, you know, the Hail Mary, the runs, the wins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that for right now, it's just I don't see how Caleb Williams can compete on that front.
Yeah, I agree with that, dude. It's the rookie
the momentum
of the year
is
stuff.
Already too great for Caleb Williams to overcome. Like, he would have to be like Joe Montana plus Brett Favre plus, you know, like Randall Cunningham over the rest of the season, you know, carrying the Bears on his back to kind of switch the narrative back to his favor over Jaden Williams at this time, Jaden Daniels at this time. Not because, you know, he's that far off, but it's just because the PR momentum, it has just gone so much in Jaden's favor. You know, it'd be almost impossible to reverse that tide right now.
I agree with that, yep. Totally. Hey, I'd be crazy not to ask you this quickly while we got you. Ovi scores twice last night.
Yeah.
Where is he at? Where is he at kind of going forward? And where do you have him breaking this record? Like, could that happen this year?
It could. I mean, it certainly could. You know, it's we're out of superlatives to discuss this guy, right? Like, you know, it's just impossible to talk about like how good he is and everything at this point. You know, you got to give credit to the coach for kind of flipping him on the wing there and still getting hit, you know, so much production out of him, because obviously we've seen that be tried before and it doesn't work, and, you know, Ovechkin 39 years old, et cetera. I don't think he's going to break the record this year. I'm not convinced of that, of course. I mean, it certainly could happen. But I do think that we are on, like, a very early watch next year.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think the Capitals would be this big of contenders, but, you know, here they are, very much one of the better teams in the NHL with the, you know, the greatest goal scorer to ever live. And, you know, as much as the football team is getting a lot of the pixels, you know, if the NHL was just a little bit more popular, I think that the Ovechkin story would also be dominating headlines locally and nationally, because we just don't see these things happen. It's so literally, this is what a generational talent looks like, and he's just going to be the absolute best, you know, hands down, lock, whatever, in almost all of sports at what he does once he hangs up his skates.
You have another couple of games like he had last night in the next 2-3 weeks? We're going to start thinking about this year is going to happen.
You're absolutely right. Like I said, I am not – I am saying no, but I am not convinced. Like, I would not bet money on that. I would not bet a kidney on that. I would not even bet a crayon on that. Like, I am not doubting this gentleman any more than I have in the past, because he's just a super-powered person that can do whatever he wants.
Greenberg, always appreciate your time, brother. Thank you.
All right, love you guys. I'll talk to you soon. Be safe out there, Halloween.
Take care, brother. All right.
Happy Halloween, Neil. That's our guy, Neil Greenberg. Give him a follow, at N Greenberg. Interesting to talk to him. We're going to talk to Pat Leonard. Then we're going to talk to Aaron Schatz later in the program. Nobody go anywhere. Only getting warmed up.